That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live this... Better push that button, right? This Saturday morning, March 17th, 2018. And got our brother Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here.
And we say good morning to you, the Holy Spirit. You have to pray for Jason. He's not feeling good this morning. Got a little stomach bug, but we'll keep him in our prayers. And got a beautiful morning here. Not quite sunrise. Snowy Radio Ranch. We got several inches of snow this Laramie Valley. Interstate 80 all the way across the state was closed down yesterday for most of the day. 287 down to Colorado was closed till at least lunchtime or after. It's wind and snow. But, hey, it's a beautiful day today. We're supposed to be up to about 45 today and sunshine, and we needed the snow, so that's a good thing. God is good that He does provide for us what we need. We may not always know we need it, and we may not think we need it, and we may not want it, but God knows best, and praise Him. He sends the good weather in its season. Well, let's open up with prayer, and then Tim, we'll come down to you. I know you had a couple things you wanted to bring up there this morning. But, well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity for Tim and I to be here to have fellowship, Lord, good fellowship with each other, with you, with the remnant. And Father, it's always encouraging to me to be able to do this. And so, Father, I thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunity that it is. Heavenly Father, we do. We lift up our brother Jason for health and healing, Lord. Let him get rested up, Lord. We pray your health and healing, your restoral to be upon him. That, Lord, he would get better. Simple as that, Lord. That he would be healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord. And Father, we pray for all those that are traveling. Spring break here coming to an end. We know many families are off and about and traveling. And Lord, we thank you that they're traveling as families. the ones that are, Father. And we pray you'd get them home safe. And, Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be here with us this morning to guide and direct us, Lord, to be with the remnant as they get up and have their coffee and tune in this morning, that Lord, our talk this morning would be encouraging to them and that it would put a smile on your face. Father, we do pray for the remnant, for all those that call you Lord. Father, we pray your blessings to be upon them. Lord, your safety, your protection. Father, we pray as we've asked others to pray. We pray for our leaders, Lord. We pray for our city leaders and our county leaders, Lord, and our state, our state government leaders, Lord, and our governors. And Lord, we pray for our national leaders, Lord, the senators and the representatives, Father. Again, that those that call you Lord, that are yours. And we pray for our president and vice president, who are not ashamed to use your word, your name, Lord, and not ashamed to call out to you. And so, Father, we pray that our leaders would do that very thing, that they would look to your word, that, Lord, when they have decisions to make, that, Father, they would pray, that they would go to you and not just make up a decision themselves. And, Father, if that hasn't happened in the past, well, Lord, let it start happening today. Let your people, Lord, as we obey your word, to pray for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life. Father, we desire godly leaders, and we pray, Lord, I pray for godly leaders in this land. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, without which we would not be able to be here, Lord. We would not be able to come before your throne with our prayers and petitions. Thank you, Jesus. We pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And plenty going on. Tim and I were just talking before the broadcast as we had the music going, just all that's going on. And Tim, I'll turn it down to you. You had mentioned a couple things you put up on the Newswire recently. Why don't you tell some of the people about that?
Yeah, we, you know, of course, this school shooting's been really, you know, in the news. And, of course, we've had the school walkout and several things going on like that. So I was just... You know, that's kind of in front of everyone right now, and there's a lot of frustration about it, and a lot of we've got these kids doing different things. But one of the we've talked about it before, about the fact that a lot of these mass shooters, or they, you know, they use the word school shooter. Of course, there's a lot of other people too, but being on SSRIs or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors or antidepressants. And I run across an article on the fact that Big Pharma has paid millions in secret settlements after antidepressants are linked to mass murder. And it's pretty well documented in there. You go through there and you have one guy in 1989 that shot 20 workers at, it wasn't a school either, Standard Gravure Corporation in Kentucky. I don't even know what that is, but, and of course it ended with him killing himself. And they paid a secret settlement outside of court. Don't know how much, but, another company, GlaxoSmithKline, paid $6.4 million to the family of a man who killed three family members hours after taking Paxil in 1998. They paid another $3 million to the widow of a man who killed himself after just a little while after taking the drug in 2010. And I know GlaxoSmithKline, they could get numbers for that in there, and they were talking about that. This has been going on since like 2000, so almost probably longer than that. You know, that's just, yes, as far as they could find tracks. But since that time, the one company, just one, has paid over $390 million in settlements.
Yeah, that, so, you know, if you start to think about that, just, folks, try to imagine the amount of money these big pharma companies are making with the drugged America, prescription drugged America, and the people love to have it so. But just imagine the amount of money they're making that they can just, you know, almost willy-nilly pass out these, you know, $300 million. I know we've talked about it in some reviews of the news, and like Tim's saying, that these are up in some of the archives on the at the SFAWBN website on the SFAW Newswire. And again, it's to get you to open your eyes to see this. We were talking, got some emails this past week about a family reporting a set of triplets. And it's been a few years ago, but it's just now getting back out in the news. A set of three healthy triplets, fine, crawling, you know, pulling themselves up on furniture, laughing, making eye contact, just perfectly healthy. And we've got a little, almost 6 months old now, new granddaughter. And so I understand how that is, how they are toddling around and, you know, growing. And took them in for their vaccinations, and by the afternoon, the kids were just catatonic, and of course diagnosed as autistic. And it just throws the standard story, cause and reason for autism out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, then they go back and try to blame that on an infected batch of vaccinations. You know, it wasn't the vaccination, it was the vaccination was infected. They had a problem here in town with back in the flu season, not with autism, but, you know, the kids are going in and getting their shots. Well, they found out that some of the kids got sick, so the kids are getting their antibiotics, and they had a batch from the Walmart pharmacy of antibiotics that almost killed some kids, put them in the hospital, put about four of them in the hospital, and one of the men from our Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, his little almost 2-year-old had a rough day, rough go of it, not a rough day, about a rough week, from, and it was a bad batch, is what they said, of antibiotics. And so, you know, you need to be aware, folks. There's so many people out there, new families, new parents, that just don't know.
You are the last party in the conference.
Well, we'll have to get Tim back on the line. I think that cut off, but Tim will call back in. He can do that, and sometimes that happens, especially with the snow we got out here. And folks, that's how it is with live radio. But I'm sure we'll get Tim. He'll be calling us back in here in a minute. But that is how that, you know, and we have many people contact us and say, hey, get me the, you know, what do you have on vaccinations? And, you know, Pastor did a couple of messages years ago warning vaccinations are dangerous. We've got a little booklet with it and things like that. And, and we've sent them out. You know, you can with the advent of the internet, you can Google your own state's you know, vaccination requirements, but also exemptions. And in many states, you can go down to the health department and fill out a religious exemption if that's how you feel led to do that, and without a, you know, without really a problem. And so anyway, Tim, do we have you back?
Yes, sir. I'm back.
Sorry about that. We
don't know what happened. It just decided it didn't want to work.
Right. Yeah, we use a little phone system here at the Radio Ranch, and of course Tim's over in Nebraska, about 5 hours away, and but it's like he's sitting right here. But the little bridge phone system we use, all of a sudden I'm being told, Tim, that I'm the last one on the line. And wait a minute here, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But you know, we see news reports of nurses, and we've spoke with several nurses, of nurses, you know, not being able to keep their job if they wouldn't take the flu shot, things like that. And and there's been nationwide organizations that have joined, you know, Nurses Against the Flu Shot, things like that.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah, I personally know some. Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
And And so, you know, the truth of these things is coming out. Now, folks, we're not saying that all medicine is bad or all doctors are bad. Not at all. The knowledge, when you look and see the knowledge of doctors and surgery and the many wonderful things they do, you see, if you want to be perfectly honest about it, you go back and look at the race of people that this type of knowledge has come to. And it has been the Anglo-Saxon people over the course of time. And so I truly believe that many parts of, you know, of doctors and healing and helping people, that knowledge does come from God. But the enemy is always standing right there. The enemy is there to, you know, ready to jump in and steal, kill, and destroy, and to take what is good and honorable by God, and twist it around and pervert it. And we see that in this. In this pharmakia, this sorcery, the way that it's gotten so out of hand. And the vaccinations are one part of it. As Tim mentioned, the antidepressants that, you know, so if you are depressed and having suicidal thoughts and you go to the doctor, he'll give you a pill that may convince you to kill yourself. Or to kill others.
Yeah.
And, you know, where's the logic in that? Well, you know, when the pills are $300 a piece, hot dog diggity. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, that greed, that love of money being the root of all evil. That comes right back in, that basis that we see in the scriptures. And so we are to, what comes to mind is we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And there's times that we have to, there's times we have to go to the doctor. There's times we might have to do things along those lines, but we're not to seek that. It's not to be, you know, we have a great physician, and we are sure to go to him. You know, that we've reported several times, Tim, on the opioid crisis, and I think many people don't realize that is just another, effect that has come out of the huge pharmakia industry, in that, you know, these people have surgeries. They certainly are apart from God. They've had surgeries and then they're on painkillers and they get, these things are so addictive that the people get, and I'm not talking about your junkie or your druggie on the street corner, but just family people. They get addicted because these drugs are so addictive. And then they're hooked. They're hooked. And they're the latest numbers I saw, over 60,000 people a year dying just of just these opioids, these fentanyl and these prescription painkillers that people are getting on and having adverse effects and overdosing and dying on.
Oh, I know. Well, it's all about alternatives, and they use that word so frequently when you're at the, well, the only alternative is, you know, and you see somebody who has, you hear that word a lot with cancer, and some of the, well, the only alternative is, you know, I mean, maybe they might say that the only alternative is, well, you know, you can pray that there's some kind of miracle, but I don't see it happening, you know, and they have all these, they use that word, and basically, they have set themselves up, and this is the issue. There are godly doctors out there, and I'd be the first to.
Yes.
I've said it before.
Yes.
I've run into them, and they're good. They're good men. They love the Lord. They really have a calling for their patients. They want to see them. They want to see true healing for that patient. You know, and but the problem is they've been, a lot of those people have been bound down and not necessarily the godly doctors, but a lot of them have been bound down with chains of debt and of everything else. I mean, by the time the debt that they incur for their schooling and for the insurance and the medical equipment and everything else that they have used to get where they're at, it causes them to have to be locked into a certain, you know, ordeal there where they handle things, and God gives us true healing. There's no doubt about it. And obviously, if you have a crisis, you're in a car wreck, you, I don't know, fall off a roof, get backed over by a tractor, or, you know, run over by a bull, you may have to go and you may need some immediate life-saving help. Can God do that? Yes, he can. There's no doubt about it. But the point is that we're also not told that we're not disallowed biblically from seeking a physician's help. The Bible talks about it. But the point is, when you go to these doctors, I think as a preventative, or as just like the vaccines and all the other stuff we see, the cure is worse than the disease. Oh, they cure you with that pill. They give you that $3,000 pill you were talking about, and you go out and do horrible things, and then shoot yourself in the head. Hey, you're cured. You know, they received their, and they don't think anything about it. So when we look, and all of the other things that dovetail into that, like you said, they create this problem, and then they create that problem, and there was another doctor that he was a doctor. He actually wrote an article that I posted up on Newswire that was, and did you know what the third leading cause of death is?
Third leading cause? No.
Yeah. Well, the first leading cause is heart disease. The second leading cause, I believe, is cancer. And the third leading cause of disease is doctor care. So, they estimate from prescription drugs that 100,000 Americans every year are killed. So, just from prescription drugs. Then there's another 7,000 deaths a year from getting the wrong medicine by mistake, and another 20,000 deaths from errors in hospitals. So, 99,000 people additionally every die from hospital-acquired infections like MRSA or some of these others. And they said, well, can you blame the doctors for those? And what they found is that a lot of those hospital infections, they don't even wash their hands when they go from one patient to the other.
Right.
So, and what I'm trying to show here is all this ruckus and outrage about these mass shootings and everything, they're not even one corner of these numbers.
Right.
I mean, it just.
And the truth of it is, and we've talked about it before, the truth of it is, the media and the left-wing antichrist would make you think that the common denominator in all these shootings and all these killings is guns. And in most of them, guns are involved. But in most of them, guns ended it as well. But the true common denominator on the majority of these are these, what do you call them, SSRs, these psychotropic antidepressant drugs. When you go back and look, and that is the true common denominator in these shootings, that these people, 99 times, probably at 999 times out of 1,000, these people are hopped up on, they're not out on heroin. They're not doing street drugs.
No,
they're on prescription drugs. They are on drugs to where they had insurance somehow, and their doctors prescribed it. They've been to see somebody, psychologist, psychiatrist, doctors, counselor, somebody. They have been administered these drugs, and this is what happens. And so, no, you're not going to have my gun because I don't do drugs. Not like that. I don't do those kind of drugs. But the old saying, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And that brings up a whole nother, I don't even know if we have time to talk about it today, but a whole nother deal about the police. You know, the police are there to file the reports. They have no obligation. You know, you don't see on the cars anymore to serve and protect.
No.
Law enforcement officers are not there for that. And I don't mean to paint a broad brush with all police officers. We have some great ones here locally. We've got some that aren't so great. It's just that way everywhere. But you know, and I think all this, it comes down to being responsible. You know, being responsible for yourself, for your family,
for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. If you want to have good health, you know, you need to determine what you can do, and then you need to do it. And if you realize what you can do, and you don't do it, see, that's neglect. And we're not to be neglectful. We're to be, you know, we're to be good stewards of all that we're given us, including our health, because that's kind of what we're talking about this morning. It's that way in our spiritual life as well. If you know that you're supposed to read the Word, and you don't, well, that's neglect. If you know you're Yes. supposed to pray for somebody, if you are led to pray for somebody, and you don't, well, that's neglect. That's not pleasing to God. And it works that way in the physical as well. If you know you shouldn't eat that half gallon of ice cream, and you do it anyway, well, that's neglect. And we have a, you know, we are to be responsible for what we eat, for what we do or don't do when it comes to, you know, our physical well-being, for what we take and don't take, for, you know, we need to be educated. And that is so much of what our pastor tried to do with, and did,
exactly.
Especially with this vaccination issue. Now, do we have every bit of information on it? No. But if we can open your eyes to a little bit of truth, there's plenty of truth out there. You can go look. You can go see. There's alternatives. Like you said, Tim, alternatives. Well, there's healthy alternatives for these things.
Yes.
If you're depressed, read the Word. And I think that's why we have so many of these problems. We're second generation now. No prayer in school. No prayer at work. You can't teach God at the schools or the universities or the colleges. What do you expect, people? What do you expect when you have so many people pushing for a godless society? What is it? Hosea 4:6. You forget my law, and I'll forget your children.
Get your children.
And that word is just as true as John 3:16. Maybe we should start doing that. We should start, instead of putting John 3:16 on banners at football games and on bumper stickers, we should put Hosea 4:6. America, God says if you forget his law, he'll forget your children. And what are happening to the children today? Because some of the children have already grown up and having children of their own.
Well, and the word health is like a lot of these other things. You know, when someone says, what's the definition of health? They, you know, people tend to immediately think of blood and tissue and all these sort of things. And the body is inseparable from the spirit and the soul. I mean, God made
Amen.
That all together.
Yes.
And the mind. And it's either all healthy, and the Bible even goes into that, and I can't think of the exact address right now, but it says if there's darkness in the eye, the whole body's darkened. If the, yes. you know, the, there's, and it's the same way with your soul and your mind, and we're to be healthy all the way across the board. And when it's all healthy, or when it's, you know, when it's all filled with light, when a little bit's filled with light, it's all filled with light. I mean, the opposite applies. We need to, you know, you can't have a totally healthy body and have a sick, morose soul and spirit. You know, I mean, if you're, and our pastor talked about that, bitterness will encompass, if you're a bitter person, if you've allowed bitterness to rule you and you're full of those sort of things, it bleeds all over. It'll affect your mind. It'll affect your body. It'll affect your life. It'll affect your children's lives. You know, I mean, I think I've said it before, and I know that I've heard it before too, and it's still, the Bible talks about that. It's all about balance. You know, I
mean,
the thing that we and moderation in all things is a very important. People go, well, where do you stand on this or that? And it's like, I'm a moderate. That's what I am. I think
right.
that
you know, and I'm not ashamed to say it. And I think that that's God's will for us, is that we are moderate in all that we do.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
And I think that, and moderate in a godly sort of way. I mean, that's the problem with the definitions is, pastor said one time, he said, well, you know, I can question people and see what's going on. I can pull them and make them say whatever. And
yes.
The one that always stuck in my mind is, you know, one of the questions is, and it's only got two answers, yes or no. This is a yes or no question. Do you still beat your wife?
Right.
that's the way they work that when they ask those questions a lot of times. And when they do that, it's not. And the only way you can win those kind of things is not play the game, because we don't do that. You know, that's wrong. I mean, and I think that when we go back to, and that's another thing about the school. I've been listening. You know, you listen to the radio and everything, and they talk about these mass shootings. And of course, you've got the students out there doing their 17 minutes of silence, and we've got these stories about the. The women have organized this march. I can't think of the group right now, but they've run these kids all over the place, and they're doing the 17 minutes of silence. And it doesn't matter whether you want to go or not. Get on the bus. We're going, you know. And
oh, yeah.
There's a lot of those. But the point I'm getting at is, so they want to get rid of that, or they want to get rid of this, or they want to harden the schools and basically make them like prisons. You know, you got to go through metal detectors. You've got armed guards. And this and that, and you know, the truth of the matter is there's a third option, and that is your kids don't need to be there. I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
absolutely,
isn't that a simple option? And think of the money and everything else
it's
school budget,
right? And you look at the public school system, and that's really what it is. And it kind of comes back, I think, to that moderation. You know, the education is needed, but the model that's been put before us has been an ungodly model from the very beginning. We have a couple of DVDs that we rent out, not rent out, we loan out, but they're like rentals. They, you know, it's like your Netflix. You get them in the mail, you watch them, and then you send them back. And they're called Indoctrination. And it talks about the public school system and how it has, from the very beginning, has been set up to circumvent God and a godly society. So if you'd like that, DVD, Indoctrination, we don't charge for it. We ask for whatever donation you'd like to make. But we'll send it to you, and we'll send it with a stamped envelope to get it back to us as well. But if you'd like that remnant, Indoctrination is the DVD. We've got a couple of them, and we've sent them out to hundreds. Feel like the old Blockbuster sometimes, or Netflix, in doing that, but that's okay. And then when you see it, again, see, that's kind of like that vaccination thing. When you see it, if you want to order them, then it tells you on there how you can order them. It order 50 or 100 and pass them out. It does a great job. It's not from an Anglo-Israel message. It's from a Christian perspective on the problems, you know, just some. It's just, I don't know, 45 minutes, if that long, of the problems with the public school system. You know, we certainly, education is needed. But the public school system has been good about dumbing down our people. Educating in a way, but not in a godly way. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of knowledge. And many times you read through, and once you start to understand this, when you see that, you know, God has used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the knowledge of man is foolishness to God, and vice versa, you start to see that, you know, having a little biblical understanding is going to take you a whole lot further than that master's degree in liberal arts. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It is that way. And go ahead, Tim.
Well, and they love to give you just two choices is where I was going with
yes.
that. You know, that they act like you only have two. You can either do this or do that. And, of course, both choices are less than. I can remember, you know, a lot of that liberal thinking, I guess we'll call it. It's satanic is what it is. But a lot of that, well, you're in a lifeboat, you know, and there's two young people and an old lady, and there's enough water for, or your grandma or whatever, there's only enough water for a brief period of time, so you're going to have to push somebody over the edge of the boat, you know,
yeah.
and who would you choose? And your choice is grandma or your sister or whatever it was, and it's like, the third choice is, you know, let's pray, let's all stay in the boat, and, if God calls one of them home, what difference does it make? I mean, sometimes faith and reliance is, and wait on the Lord, you know?
Absolutely.
But they never gave us that choice.
Right,
and
because
it's a
skewed way of thinking. It's a secular, a worldly, an ungodly, like you said, Tim, satanic way of thinking. It's like, wait a minute, I'm going to pray. Because I know of a guy, I read of a guy that prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years, and then he prayed again and it rained. And I believe that. And it says that he had a spirit like our own, right? Isn't that what it says in James?
Yeah
Elijah
yeah.
was a man with a nature like ours, like yours, Tim. Elijah had a nature like you, Tim. And Elijah had a nature like you, Phil, that's out there. And Elijah had a nature like you, Howard, and like you, Bill, and like you, Ralph, and like you, Joe, and John, and like me. Elijah had a nature like us, and he prayed earnestly. Now, he didn't just pray on his way doing all these things. Lord, while you're at it, could you stop the rain there for 3 years, Lord, because I'm busy and I got this to do. Thank the Lord. Amen. No, that's not how it was. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, believing earnestly, and it rained. And so, we read that and believe it. We read of the, at least we do, of the pilgrims when they had their starving winter, and then here comes spring, and it just ain't happening. And summer, and the rains have held off, and the corn is dying in the field. And this is, 1621? This is their second year here, and they know they ain't going to make it with this crop through another winter. They know they're not.
Yeah.
And they, what did they do? They fasted, and they prayed out to God, God, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for not totally relying on you. Thank you for this new land you've given us. Lord, we are totally dependent on you. We have no strength. We have no food. We need your rain. And they fasted and they prayed. And the gentle rains came. And it was so gentle, it says over the next 2 weeks, rain and sunshine, and that it just, they had such a bountiful harvest. We had this little thing in this country called Thanksgiving that came out as a result of that. But see, in the school, the public school system, and my son is going to a community college, taking a history class to get his fire science degree, has to have history, and in the textbook, it makes mention of the pilgrims' starving winter. But they got through it due to strict military discipline. See, that's what the textbook says. And so that's what his history professor believes, because that's what she was taught. And that's what the children are taught, and the children even up to the in the colleges. And so, see, Tim, they're not given that third option. They're not given that third option.
Really,
it's like, let me tell you what we do. We humble ourselves, and we pray, and we believe the word. And God says, hey, when I see that their strength is gone, then I come and deliver them. When they finally turn back to him, and many times, as the sinful people that we are as a nation, that's the last thing we do. We've tried it all our way, and when his people finally turn to him, his word is true. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then he comes and heals. And so we've read it in the word. We see it has happened in our history. Why would it not happen again today? You know, that faith, people
God's
say,
the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely he is. And when people say, like you said, well, I just can't see my way out of this. fantastic. Now we're getting into faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Not seen. When we can't see a way out. When things are so bad, you know, whether it's job or marriage or health or whatever, that we can't see and figure it out on our own. Well, see, that's when we get a little, that's when the faith comes in. That's when we have to rely on Him that we haven't seen but we love. Right? The Word says that. We haven't seen Him but we love Him. We should anyway, as Christians, as John puts it, as true followers of Christ. Because His Word says it. Again, we've seen it in our history. Many of us have seen it in our own life. We have seen healings. We've seen deliverances come when, you know, we couldn't see how that could happen. But God makes a way. God makes a way. Well, and there's that faith. But it's just taken from our children. It's not taught. And I say our children in this nation. You know, we do our best to teach our children this way.
Well, and I think just like this deal with the Bundys up there, I think that's a good example of it. I don't know their biblical position, but they stood upon that, you know, we will not be moved. It's our land. God gave it to us. And all the things that went on, and they've been totally acquitted. They're all back home.
Yes.
And, you know, if you'd asked me, I had serious doubts. And I, you know, this is my humanity speaking, not my, it was like, wow, going into the court system like that, I wonder how that's going to work out. And it right. wasn't like they had any choice. God sometimes leads us to places we don't want to go.
Sure. But, sure. And you know, Tim, the thought occurs to me that because I've heard many people say, oh, well, they're Mormon or they're this or they're that. Well, you know, maybe it's not about them. See, maybe it's about us.
Yeah.
It's about us in just seeing that seeing that here's this person that stood on their godly principles. Hey, our family settled this land before the state was a state, back before when it was a territory, you know, type of
that's
thing.
Right.
And we petitioned against, you know, this representative form of government. We have done everything we could, and they were lied to, but they stood their ground and they trusted, and they didn't give up. They didn't compromise. And so, you know, those are good godly lessons, regardless of who they've happened to. That doesn't matter. You know, we get that sometimes. I was baptized by Pastor so-and-so back 20 years ago. Well, but he's fallen away from the faith now. Is my baptism still valid? And it's not about, many times we see things, and it's not about the person, but it's about the event or the lesson that can be learned, the lesson that God gives in these things.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, and that's where I was going. It's not always necessarily vindication of your faith in some instances like that when maybe you're outside of that, but it's God showing us through that person that it's an object lesson is what it is. It's like, look, I took this, they stood on, and the other thing is I think another example that can be taken from that is I mean, not saying that I'm perfect in my faith, because I'm a long ways from it. I like everyone else, I have to work out my salvation constantly. But the point is they took a small thing and they said, God gave us this, and we're not going to just be walked on about it. And God honored that, you know. I mean, and you don't have to have, if you were perfect in your salvation, you wouldn't need any of it. You wouldn't need God's help as far as you would be walking that path. You wouldn't need that miraculous intervention that so many, if the world was the perfect place that some people think it should be.
Right.
We live in uncertain times, and God guides us and walks us through it. And when we see those sort of things go on, it's an object lesson for the rest of us. It's like, well, hey, you know, the Lord blesses those who will stand up for Him and say, no, I'm not going to be moved. The cornerstones were set. The Bible says not to move the cornerstones of of the property. And, you know, I'm standing on that. That's going to be, this is ours.
Yes.
And God honored it. So praise the Lord for it. I mean, it's no less a miracle because it was done for them than anything else. And it goes no different to, we know that the woman who touched his garment and was healed. He said it, you know.
Yes. Yes. She knew.
The whole world is blessed.
She knew.
Yeah.
She said, I know if I can touch his garment. See, it wasn't I hope for, I pray for. She knew. She knew.
And just the crumbs from the master's table, Lord, will make me whole. You know,
yes.
I mean, just, you know, and
praise the Lord.
So there's those sorts of things there. The crumbs are powerful.
Oh, yes, they are. healing and deliverance and blessing and, you know, and all of that, just the crumbs. How much more the main course? How much more the hors d'oeuvres? You know, or even the dessert, if the crumbs will do that. Our Bible reading plan, we've been pushing the Bible reading plan, and folks, I know things are busy out there. Everybody's busy. Everybody's going, running, working, sometimes two and three jobs and stuff. But we have the Bible reading plan. We encourage you to have it. Put it in your Bible so that when you do have time, when you are able to make some time, you read it. Because these are the kind of gems that you get out of it. Today's reading is Titus 1 and 2. It's a real small letter of Paul. And just one thing I wanted to mention before we run out of time this morning. Here in verse 16 of Titus 1, it's talking about, you know, Titus 1 talks about qualifications of elders, gives us some guidelines on how we are all to be as Christians, because we are all to be kings and priests, right? And literally elders in our homes and in our church. And so it tells us how to be. And so I encourage you to read that. But down, then it talks about, you know, Cretans being liars and that they're to be reproved. But a couple verses here. Verse 15 says, to the pure, all things are pure. And that reminds me that, you know, love believes all, the Bible says. And I think of that as love believes in all. You know, until we're proven wrong, we are to believe. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. And then verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. And that's what I want to kind of put out to you is, you know, what do your deeds say about knowing and trusting and believing God? And I think that's for each and every one of us. You know, by our deeds, you know, by our fruits, we are known. You know, by our deeds, the things truly that we do or the things we don't do. And so if we profess to know God and to be Christians and followers, do our deeds back that up? And I don't mean are we going to Africa or Mexico in building houses or, you know, but are we... Are we forgiving? Are we, like we talked about before the broadcast, Tim, are we not being bitter? Are we not harboring unforgiveness? Those type things as well. Those are the deeds we have in our own life. Because if we are, and when you read on through it, it goes on and says, you know, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good. See, those are because of their thoughts. And when you read on in chapter 3, Godly Living, we don't have time this morning to read it, but I encourage you folks, read through it if you haven't. And it will remind you, you know, that hey, we were once foolish. And then it goes on through disobedient, deceived, envy, full of envy and hateful and things like that. But we've changed. We've been washed. And so I encourage you, you know, you get little gems and nuggets out of this. You know, here it is in Titus 3, talking about baptism. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. How about that? Right there. And so, you know, good reminders, good nuggets to encourage us, to let us know that, yeah, it's a mess out there. It is. But but we're not of that anymore. And so, you know, we are a when we've done what we're supposed to do, not only believed in the word, but been obedient to it. Well, see, we are then heirs of the promise. We are now heirs of the promise, sons of the living God, son of the King. You know, last Sunday at church, we were coming in and getting ready for the live broadcast, the live service, and Brother Steve was there. And he asked me, "How you doing, Richard?" And I said, "Better than I deserve." And he rebuked me. He said, "Don't you say that. You know, what do you deserve as a son of the King? What don't you deserve as the son of a king?" And I took that, and I apologized to him, and I apologized to God. And, you know, we do have to be careful with that sometimes. You know, we have been given all power and authority. And so, you know, we should be expecting what the son of a king expects.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true. Well, and the thing is when you look at all that, that's just another, you have another choice. You
yes.
can be
yes.
you can be a son of the king. I mean, the Bible is all about how we deal with each other and all about how we deal with God. It's another choice. And
yes.
The system that we're in, that Babylonian system, it never points to that and goes, "Well, you can have this or this," or they don't ever point to the Bible and say, "Or you can have that."
Right.
Because they want that out of people's minds. They don't
yep.
want them to be, they don't want them to be sensible, an example of good deeds, pure in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech.
Amen.
You know, they want them on drugs. Autistic, you know, they want them to have all those things because, and why? And Titus says it for sordid gain. You know, I mean, we look at the families today and see what they do, and that's one of those things there. It says, "Who must be silenced?" Because in verse 11 in Titus, because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain.
And that's the public fool system, right there.
It
I think
is.
that describes it right there. The whole and schools, universities, all that, you know, because they deny God, they lie, they teach a false history. They do. You know, we push in ministering to people and teaching our children, seek first the kingdom. And all these other things will be added to you. You want a good godly wife, seek first the kingdom. And God will give you a godly wife. You want to make money and be prosperous and be successful in life, seek first the kingdom. And God will put all that on there. You know, you want to be healthy. You know, you want to have good health and be strong and virile. And all, seek first the kingdom. And all these other things will be added to you. It's a matter of perspective. It really is. Well, Tim, we only got a couple minutes left here. A couple things we want to remind you folks. We've got a 91st day starting tomorrow after church, basically, tomorrow afternoon. Sunday and Monday, the last two 91st days of the 2017 solar year. And that'll be Sunday, you know, what, noon? Or we're in daylight savings time now, so it's 1, I guess, 1 to 1, Sunday to Monday, and then Monday to Tuesday again, 1 to 1. And then Tuesday is, I guess, the 20th, and that starts the new solar year. And in the Bible, that's the month of Abib. And, of course, 14 days later, we have Passover. That will be April 2nd. We are planning on a live Passover service, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, from the church on April 2nd. Still got a little time to get ready for that. Praise the Lord. We'd ask your prayers for that as we prepare here and for all the people that the remnant's minds would and hearts would be open to this celebration, this remembrance of when that death angel passed over us. And of course Christ is our Passover today. We understand that, but we will have a service there. So and then Branson will be here before you know it. First weekend in June, June 1, 2, and 3 is the Branson Conference, and we have that in our Volume 2 2018 newsletter that should be, it's in the mail. We've had it mailed out since a week ago, Thursday. So that's about 9 days. And so it should be getting delivered. So we're looking forward to that. Need you to let us know about Branson a little early this year, by the end of April, because we've got to get the hotel paid and get the rooms done. So lots going on. Here it is. Winter is almost over. Today, you know, just this weekend, the last little bit. And then we're into spring. And so praise the Lord for that. Well, Tim, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you and yours have a blessed day over there in Nebraska. And Remnant, we thank you. We invite you to church with us. Come to church with us at scriptures4america.org. You can click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. And have a little change up for you tomorrow. You know, what they call it, a switch hitter, maybe. I think is what baseball talks about. And so we encourage you to tune in and join us. We'll have something a little different for you tomorrow. Tim, thanks so much. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. There will be a place where no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own, but there has never been a step. You've walked down.